Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Just when you think Kanye West can't get worse, he does. And it all has to do with these latest tweets he put out about Jay-Z and Beyonce's twins, Rumi and Sir. Now, I'm not going to use the exact language that he used to describe these two seven-year-olds.
So before we even get into that, can you, Mo, give us the history between Jay-Z and Kanye, because it used to be tight.
Oh, yeah. That's a man. That history is very, very, very flawed. But so they were like brothers, at least as they considered each other brothers, or at least it seemed, when Jay-Z initially brought Kanye onto Rockefeller Records, which was owned by Dame Dash and partially Jay-Z. And at that time, Kanye was producing most of the beats for all of the artists on Rockefeller, including Jay-Z. And they seemed to have a really good relationship. At some point, Kanye stopped looking at Jay-Z as a big brother and a mentor who brought him into the game. And I think he somewhat started looking at him as competition. And I think Kanye wanted to really do his own thing. And at that, Jay realized that it may be best for them to separate a little bit. And Kanye saw that as, you are disowning me, or you are not being loyal to me. You're leaving me out here to fend for myself. And I think between that and then Kanye losing his mom, Kanye just went to a completely different direction and would do anything for attention. And if you know anything about Jay-Z, he's always tried to separate himself from people like that. And I think that's when their relationship was pretty much spoiled.
He just wants to mind his business.
Yep.
So Kanye obviously doing the exact opposite, because one of his most recent tweets is about his kids, the seven-year-old twins, Rumi and Sir. And he called them the R word and talked about and questioned their mental capacity. I'll just put it in those kinds of terms. And basically blamed it on the fact that they were conceived via artificial insemination. So then he deletes the tweet. He takes it down and said that he felt bad about it. But then he circles back and he's like, I regret taking it down, .. My Twitter is a one-way conversation, which to me just says I can't take any accountability whatsoever.
Yeah, I almost feel like this is a game he's playing. And maybe I'm just really naive. I just don't think that people authentically are this mean. I know he's really, really disturbed, but I also know that I think he gets drunk by the attention. It doesn't matter if it's negative or not. So I'm trying to like not get upset by him, because I think that's what he wants.
Mm.
So I think all of this is, if not calculated, is just coming from a very disturbed person. And for me, I'm not giving into the loathing or hating anymore, because I think that's what he wants.
Yeah, I really honestly don't think there's anything wrong with Kanye. I think at some point, you know, the mental health thing was understandable to see as maybe that's why he's at this point, though. I think Kanye has figured out that every time he says something like this, people pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
His followers go up. He becomes the top of the news cycle with every media outlet. And I think he does not care about the repercussions so long as he's being talked about, and that's all he cares about, and it works every time. And until people literally just stop paying him any mind, he's going to continue to do it.
I actually think it's very disrespectful to those who have a mental illness to blame it on his mental illness. Like, that will explain the behavior, but it definitely does not excuse the behavior. And so I feel at this point in time, it's like, dude, you need to start taking accountability for your actions and what you're saying. But here's the thing. He's not, because he doesn't care. So if he doesn't care, then I feel like the only power we have is not caring about him.
I think it was Logan Paul in the trailer for his new TV show says that we don't live in a society that values likes anymore. We value being talked about. And it doesn't matter if you're liked or not. You just want to be talked about. And I think nobody's better than that right now Well, I can think of one person, but mostly Kanye.
Yeah, he's chasing relevancy. And it's not just like these one-off tweets. Like, it's not like he has all of these great tweets and then all of a sudden it's like this random thing about the twins. He's also talking about the Kardashians, obviously his ex-family. He's calling them sex workers and he's accusing them of sex trafficking, which is rich because apparently, according to TMZ, Kim Kardashian had to end a visit with Northwest and Kanye West after learning that Andrew and Tristan Tate were on their way to their location. And if you know anything about them, they have human trafficking charges. So it's insane.
After what he said about Jay-Z and Beyonce's kids, knowing them, they pretty much are tight-lipped and don't respond to anything. Is this going to be the case with this, you think?
I personally don't think Jay-Z and Beyonce will give this any attention.
Really?
I don't think
so.
Even
though it's about their kids?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I feel like they have kind of learned the mastery of if they address it, then it gets even more publicity and people talk about it more. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, then eventually people will be on to something different.
Yeah, you give them too much power if you respond to it.
Yeah, that's the thing about trolls is this is what they want. You know, forget about a Kanye level. Even the trolls online, the trolls in your family, they want this so much. They want to know it's bothering you and they want you to respond so badly. And if you don't, they just go away.
Yep.
Aubrey Plaza's late husband's final text to her was sent 3 hours before his passing. I'll reveal what his last words.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
To her were on your next e-buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Forget about March Madness. We are calling it Meow Madness. Man vs. Cat.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Still disappointed y'all didn't know what that was.
Yeah. No idea.
After knowing what it is, I don't hear it.
Save.
Rude.
Each and every year, this country gets obsessed with the college basketball tournament, right? Even those in the office right now that have never watched a college basketball game will go online and start to make random picks based on maybe it's the color uniform.
The mascot.
The mascot, what have you.
Ooh, they have a hot coach. Oh, we should do a hot coach draft.
Are there many of them?
I don't know.
There are several.
Okay, it wouldn't be a round of 64.
Yeah, maybe.
That'd be
maybe
a tournament.
Maybe a Final Four.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's so frustrating because so many people, on the other hand, do so much research on this, right? Maybe they're watching college basketball each and every week. They know the statistics. Now I'm starting to get into the algorithm on for sure who's going to win this thing because if you look at past winners, there's consistency, and most now are saying, to your credit here, you must be excited. A lot of people are saying Florida meets all the qualifications to win a championship.
Go freaking Gators. Not only are we one of the number one seeds for this tournament, but we also have like an 8-foot player. And I'm not good at math, but I'm pretty sure that means he can just like go boop and then the ball will be in the basket.
He goes boop.
That's exactly how
it works. Yeah. When he gets that alley-oop, they go, oh, look, he just got a boop.
Alley-boop.
So we were looking for a family in which the husband or a family in which the boyfriend is one of these guys that just knows like everything about basketball, not only does like one bracket, but maybe does two brackets or three brackets. And you guys started emailing us and Tommy came running in here yesterday and he's like, oh, you guys, we found the perfect couple.
Okay. And this was actually the very first entry we received. We got a bunch of entries, but I kept going back to this one because it stood out. Head and shoulders above the rest, because this guy seems so cocky in his bracket prowess And he is a professional bettor on sports.
Oh, wow.
I'm talking about every day. He was betting last night. I talked to him and his wife last night. It's Josh and Jessica. I talked to Josh last night. And I said, do you bet like all the time? He goes, I need St. Francis to come back right now. or whoever it was.
Which they for did. The play-in yeah. game?
Yes, he had bets on the play-in game last night.
Oh, he betting on whatever on TV.
That's the team that lost in like the last second, South Alabama or something.
I don't know. He could tell you how he ended up making out on it. But, but yeah, he bets and he does. She goes, yeah, on his 25 parlay.
25 parlay.
Man, you can't win a 25 parlay.
What like, is a 25 parlay?
He's like parlaying on all these things. It's like where you all these bets have to come in.
You need 25 things to go your way, literally. Yeah.
So
that's what that means.
You have to get 25 bets right in order to win?
Like for the Super Bowl, I tried to do that with 8. And if I would have got 8 right, I would have won $5,000.
Yeah, it's virtually impossible.
25 is insane.
Crazy, right?
I can't see that.
But we needed to find a couple where she was just as invested in as he is, because there's a payoff for both.
Yes, and she believes in Abby's cat.
She shouldn't. We did our picks yesterday, and it took us 2.5 hours, because turns out getting a cat to do something for 2 hours is really difficult.
All right. I have a feeling, though, that Josh and your cat are going to pick the same winner for the tournament.
Really?
Have you seen my cat's bracket yet?
No, but if you had anything to do with it and like maybe forcing your cat one way.
Did you pick Florida?
I did not. Betty, my cat, my 5-month-old cat, did not pick Florida to win.
Oh, wow. Well, I stand corrected. Did I
rig it a little bit so they made it farther than normal? Yeah, because it was taking a really freaking long time. And I was like, mommy's going to pick through this round. But I didn't rig the final two. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this might be one of the worst brackets in the game right now. Okay. I don't have a lot of faith in Betty.
So for those that don't know how your cat picked these games, what was the process?
So I took two pieces of paper. One would have one team on it. The other would have another team on it. And I would put them in front of my cat. And it was easy for some rounds. She would put her paw on it and be like, that one. I'd be like, oh, easy pick. She's passionate about that one. And that's how I would choose who would pick for that round. But then, you know, she'd go, I'm hungry. Oh, I want to play with my pet sister cat. And it just took a long time. So sometimes I'd like throw them at her, and then she would like bite one, and then she would choose it that way. So yeah, took a hot second.
All right, so let's find out who the competition here is, and let's get Josh on. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Oh, dude. I mean, if you do this like almost full time and you lose to a cat.
The shame.
Not a good look for you, bro.
I will never recover from this if I lose this.
All right, Josh, so tell us about like your daily betting, your monthly betting, your biggest bet you've ever won on. Tommy says it's pretty complicated.
Yeah, so like 25 legs, maybe a little stretch, but we have plenty of 12, 14, 15 legs parlays in for today. The biggest I've hit for was actually on Super Bowl squares. I entered a Super Bowl square thing that it was paying $250 a minute, and I hit for $7,000 on that 2 years ago. But basically, I mean, anything from, you know, Japanese baseball to, you know, March Madness, we bet on it all.
Wow. You say wait, Josh, baseball. You say we bet on it all. Is Jessica really like endorsing this?
She,
Let's
she enjoys the trips when the trips happen because of the win.
Okay,
I got you. Hey, Jessica, when he says we, do you have any input on who and what he places the bets on?
I get the screenshots and I get the laughter after I have 12 of the legs of a parlay.
12 legs of a parlay.
That is impressive.
That
in the 12
really
legs.
Is. And you're betting on things that, I mean, that you don't know about, or you immediately go do research on like the, I don't know what they are, the Yokohama Giants.
Oh, he follows it every day.
We try to do research. I don't think any real degenerate can feel too confident in any of their picks, because at the end of the day, it's gambling. But like NFL season, I'm big in the NFL season, and anytime touchdowns, you know, you're going to have guys on a team that, you know, are going to score more weeks than not, right? So, you know, you just put together Christian McCaffrey, you know, Saquon Barkley. You try to throw together 10 to 12 of those guys, and, you know, $100 bet will pay you $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. So it's like, that's kind of my process. March Madness is more, you know, you're going to have Cinderella stories, and you just try to be on the right side of it.
You sound like the guy that's in my algorithm that's pitching me on his sports betting newsletter. Like, he has the same voice.
He does have that voice.
That's spot on.
Yeah. It really does.
You get him all the time. Oh, join my Discord for $7 a month. No. You don't need a Discord. You just watch the games, and you should know. Your heart will tell you where to go with it.
All right, so there's more on the line than just Josh's pride if he gets beat by a cat. So, Jessica, since you were the one that submitted your husband, what is, like, how can this play out for you two? If Josh beats Abby's cat, what does he get? And if Abby's cat beats Josh, what do you get?
Okay, so if he beats the cat, which we're still pulling for Betty over here, but if he beats the cat, he gets a free, you know, guilt-free golf weekend away with his guys. But to make it really interesting, if the cat beats my husband, I'm going to take that golf trip and give him a taste of his old medicine, and he's going to stay home with the kids, and I'm going to do a golf trip with my girl.
Okay. Ooh. Stakes are high now.
Mm-hmm.
You mean all weekend with the kids?
Oh, yeah, all weekend.
All weekend.
All right. So the first game is today, I believe, at noon.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. you guys have already put your brackets in. Mm-hmm. And Josh, did you fill out more than one? Is that what Tommy was telling us yesterday? I mean, you gave us one. But how many total have you filled out so far?
11.
Dang. 11. That's all I can do one.
I did two.
Only,
it was tight.
Seven of them are for money. The other couple are my shot at the $1 million through ESPN.
Oh, okay.
That's the one where you have to get them all right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That rarely happens.
All right, so let's go through some of today's games and see who you have chosen and who Abby's cat has chosen.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know who's playing today. Does anyone have the schedule?
Oh, do you have the bracket up?
I do have the bracket up, yes.
You know who's playing today.
Oh, but no, I don't.
It doesn't have the time.
Louisville and Creighton.
Louisville and Creighton.
Is one of the first games at 12:15.
Okay.
I love Creighton.
Betty chose Louisville.
All right. Okay. Y'all got to say it right. Louisville.
My bad.
Louisville.
All right. So we have our first difference right off the bat.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Second game, Mo?
I'm trying to go through the schedule right now and see which games. Okay. We got Purdue versus High Point at 12:40.
Come on. Purdue's going to crush, right?
Hang on.
Purdue.
Yeah. I have Purdue.
All right. Well, those are this. Okay. They got the same team.
We have Texas Tech versus UNC Wilmington later today.
Texas Tech.
I also have Texas Tech.
Okay. Huh? Betty, doing all right?
The 7-10s are always interesting. We got Kansas versus Arkansas today.
I'm going with Kansas.
I also chose, Betty also chose Kansas.
Okay.
We got ourselves a bracket here.
I will say Betty started off real strong, and then around the final four is when things took a turn.
Okay.
We got a good one with Gonzaga and Georgia, an 8-9 matchup today.
I've got the Zags.
I have Gonzaga as well.
You guys both went against Georgia. Dang, okay.
We got BYU versus VCU in a 6-11 matchup today.
Who you got, Josh?
BYU.
I have the Fighting Mormons, BYU.
Okay.
So far we only have one difference, and that's the Louisville-Creighton game, right?
Yep.
We also have Michigan, number 5, versus number 12, UC San Diego.
I've got Michigan.
I have UC San Diego.
There we go.
Betty was a big, they go far in Betty's bracket.
Is that right?
UC San Diego makes it all the way to the final eight.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
A lot of people are calling for it. I don't believe it.
We got Texas A&M at number 4 taking on Yale, number 13 today.
Texas A&M.
Oh, we took Texas A&M. Yeehaw.
And we have Missouri, number 6 versus number 11, Drake.
Let's go, Drake.
We got Missouri.
Okay,
so we got a couple.
There. Is that it for today?
I think that's it for today.
Okay, so we should at least check in with each other tomorrow after the first round to see who's leading this thing.
We will.
And we have Josh, both brackets. Both brackets are up at theburtshow.com, by the way, if you want to do some comparisons.
All right, so there is a golf weekend on the line for either Jessica or Josh. Tomorrow we'll check back in with you, Josh, if you got the time to see, at least during the first round, who did better, you or her cat, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
As somebody who's been watching House Hunters for most of my life and loving to make my predictions and see where Chad and Jessica are looking for their new home in Sarasota, Florida with a $1 million budget, when I finally got to start for looking homes on my own, I was really excited.
I got hooked and I only watch it on planes. Same version of that. I'm not even sure the name of it, but they're looking for homes in the Caribbean.
Oh, it's the best.
Awesome.
It's the beach vacation.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, they have so people have homes and now they're looking for a secondary home or maybe it'll be their primary residence. But yeah, they have a whole beach house version of House Hunters.
And they go from house to house in these different Caribbean islands and you try to guess how much the bid is going to be for, but it's so exciting to watch until you're in it.
Exactly. And I'm someone who loves to get on realtor.com and that's kind of how I got into this house hunt to begin with. I knew I was going to probably purchase property in the next couple of years. And so I was like, let me just kind of see what the landscape is. Like, let me get my finances in order. Let me see what's feasible for me to afford. And let me just kind of see what's out there so that by the time I'm ready to buy something, I feel prepared and I feel like I know what I'm looking for. And then there were a couple of places that I had seen kind of sit on the market for a hot second that I was just kind of obsessed with. There was this one place in Buckhead that was so beautiful and picturesque that when I started my house hunt, I was convinced I was going to make an offer on that place and buy it the next day. I was like, I'm just going to simply add to cart, purchase it, and then move in a couple of weeks.
Is this the place that fell apart over $2,000 or something?
No. So I'm going to tell you the three places that it came down to because I thought this first place was going to be the winner. So this is back in January. I call up Hannah Wehunt from the Justin Landis Group. Shout out to her. I love her. And she took me to this place in Buckhead that I was in love with. It was a top floor corner unit. Mm. It was built in the 80s, but it had this 1920s charm to it. It had original hardwood floors that had this beautiful texture and striping to it and these built-ins that felt like they came from a Nancy Meyers film. They're up against the wall and there's crown molding and there's wainscoting and these beautiful windows that lead out to a balcony. And right in the center, this was the thing that got me on my house hunt. And this is how stupid women can be when it comes to aesthetics, but it had this beautiful fireplace that was so ornate. It just felt like if I was a Sex and the City character, this is the apartment I would live in. And I was convinced I was going to purchase it. I was like, it's in my budget. The HOA fees are a little expensive, but I don't care. I'm in my 20s. I'm going to do it. And so I end up taking Kristen's husband, Bart, to this place. I'm like, just suss it out because it's kind of old. Let me know if there's anything wrong with it. And he walks around the apartment. He starts pointing out all these things that might need some repairs. And then all of a sudden, I just started to see ding, money, ding, money, ding. And I was like, this is starting to become more of an expensive project than I think that this place will be worth it for me for how long I think I'm going to be living in this place.
And that comes with purchasing something that was built in the 80s.
Exactly. So I ended up tabling that place. I ended up moving on. And
that
I was
hurts when you do that. And
yes. That place went down $50,000 in price too. And I'm like, I could have got it for not cheap, but cheapish. But I had to move on because it just wasn't right.
So when you were doing the math on it though, man, because it was such a great house, but you were looking at all these repairs, but it went down $50,000. With the repairs you would have had to put in, would you have broken even at the end of the day?
Maybe. It just depends because you also just don't know, what are you going to sell it for? If you could have a crystal ball and know that you're going to sell it for even or a little bit more, then that's something I would have been confident in doing. But a lot of these condos, the market is really slow. So there's really no way to know if you're even going to be able to sell it within a reasonable time. So I ended up moving on and then it came down to two places. The second place had a very similar charm to the first place, except it was a little bit newer. It was built in the late 90s. So it didn't feel quite as it needed a fixer upper. And this place felt so regal. It had this beautiful terracotta tile all throughout. They just put fresh new carpet in. So it had a fresh smell to it. It didn't feel like someone's dog peed on it and you need to replace it.
It wasn't dingy.
It wasn't dingy. It had these gorgeous black chandeliers, one in the dining area, one in the living area. It had a fireplace too. So I was like, I'm getting my fireplace that I like from the first place. And it had this stunning wainscoting throughout the entire apartment. So it just felt so luxe. It had molding. And the kitchen was beautiful and crisp and white. And then I left that place and I was like, that's the place I'm going to buy. And so I put an offer on that one. And then that's when we started getting into the war between $3,000. I was like, this place has been sitting on the market for 9 months. I'm going to get it for cheap. And they were like, no, you're not. And so then we kind of started this war. And then it got to the point where I was like, if this place has been sitting for this long, I might need to move on. So then I went to go see a townhouse because townhomes appreciate more than condos.
Did you ever figure out why that house had been on the market for so long? Was it just pricing?
Well, I think it was pricing because it had gone down about $75,000 since it'd been on the market. And just in comparison, like it was a little overpriced. And to be fair, where they had it priced when I went to go look for it, like that was more reasonable, it would have appraised for that amount, I think. But I just don't know. Like it was, and then there was this weird thing where I went to go tour a different unit in that place, in that same complex. And the woman who owned that unit was living in the unit that I was touring in the same building. So then I was like, well, why is she living in the same complex, but she's selling her place? It just like didn't add up. So then I went to go tour a townhouse. And I was like, well, townhomes appreciate more. So then, you know, maybe I'll get more of my return on investment. And I found this place that I felt like I could get again for a good deal because it had been sitting on the market again for like 7 months. And then I made an offer on that. And then they were like, no deal for you. And I was like, your place is kind of crappy. Like your place needs a lot of work. And so then I went back to my dream condo, the one with all the wainscoting. And they,
the 80s place?
The 90s place. The top floor one, the other one that was built in the late 90s and felt very like luxe and regal. And they were like, you know what? Your last offer that you gave us, we thought about it. We're not going to go to war over $3,000. Yeah. We'll take it. And then I just something wasn't sitting right with my soul. I'm just like, this place has been sitting on the market for 9 months and I just don't know if I'm going to be able to sell it for this same price because the economy is going to crap and these places have been sitting for so long. And just as a single woman, like I'm just not in a place to take a financial risk. And when I started my home search, it didn't feel like a risk. And now it is starting to feel like a risk. And I just don't think this is the right time. So I am living in my apartment with the fire alarm and the pipes that sound like they're about to burst at any moment. And we're just going to sit here for a little bit longer until something feels right.
Just see how things shake out.
I'm hoping my apartment doesn't shake out anymore, even though the pipes sound like they're about to go at any moment. But
I feel like this is such a good snapshot of anybody that's buying a home, not even necessarily their first time, but any time, of the time consumption in looking at each and every place. And then you start to play the mind game of seeing yourself in that place and you want it so badly. And then the slow deterioration that happens when reality hits. Then you move on to another one because that one's out of your head. And then that one all of a sudden falls apart. And you can just do it for weeks and weeks and weeks, if not months and months and months.
It's literally like getting engaged to somebody because you're picturing your future with them and you're picturing your kid, your kids. Your friends hanging out and having dinner at that place, and then you break up with them or they break up with you. And then when you're on realtor.com, you have to like avoid looking at photos of them. Like you just wish you could block them from, so you, when you're looking at the other options, you can't see them, but then they're just haunting. They're like, just pay $10,000 more. It's not that big of a deal on a 30-year mortgage, even though rates are really high right now.
I got so hooked on House Tinder, which is Zillow, I loved doing it each and every day, that even when I found my house right here in Sandy Springs, I was still going online and looking at homes, even though I had closed, just because I loved the process of it.
And it's torture. It's like, should I have waited longer? Should I have moved on that place?
But sounds like torture.
Once you realize you've committed, you got to delete yourself off the apps and commit to the place that you have put your money into.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Mm.
really, really magical and special night last night for one of our Burt's Big Adventure families that we got to fill you guys in on because it was just so incredibly awesome. So Burt's Big Adventure is the trip that we take down to Disney World every year with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses. A lot of you guys know that. If you're new around here, we do this every single year. And you guys that are listening and our sponsors pay for the entire trip. And we go VIP the whole way. But before we even take off on that trip, from time to time, a family will hit us with a personal story and a connection in their life that we try to surprise them with right before we take off for this trip down to Disney World. And in this case, it was Liam's family that was telling us at the send-off a very, very special story about Andy Grammer and specifically his song, Don't Give Up on Me.
So, as it turns out, Andy Grammer is going to be coming to Atlanta here very, very soon. So, we want to play something for you here.
Liam, what's up? Andy Grammer here. I just want to give you a lot of love. I heard that my song, Don't Give Up On Me, is special to you and your family. And so, I wanted to personally invite you to come to the Buckethead Theater in Atlanta March 19th. I'd love to meet you personally, get you some VIP tickets, and rock out with you, my man. I'll see you soon.
So, you guys are going to go see Andy Grammer at the Buckethead Theater on March 19th. Oh, mom's crying. And you guys are going to meet Andy Grammer, and you could tell him your story also. He's already touched by it. He kind of already knows, and he's like, whatever they want, I got them. So you guys are going to go to the show.
Thank you. That's so awesome.
Okay, so that doesn't tell the whole story at all. So why is that song so special?
So throughout the Burt's Big Adventure process, talking to the families, we learned that Caitlin Liam's mom, when he was having seizures, because he has epilepsy along with another condition that I cannot pronounce. All we know is that there is a condition where when a child is born and their brain is completely smooth, and you know how your brain's supposed to have bumps. Well, his is partially smooth and partially bumpy. So that's what Liam deals with on a day-to-day basis. And there for a time, he was having just seizure after seizure after seizure. So what Caitlin figured out is that when he was having a seizure, she would sit there and she would hold him. And she would sing Andy Grammer's Don't Give Up On Me because it was the perfect amount of time to know at the end of that song, after she had sang it, if he hadn't stopped seizing, she would have to administer his life-saving medicine. But they told her, like, you know, you need to wait and see if the seizure subsides. If it doesn't, then you give him the medicine. So she'd sit there and she'd sing that song over and over and over again. I mean, she said he'd have hundreds of seizures a day, right? So she would sit there and sing that song over and over again, and that's how she would time his seizures with Andy Grammer's Don't Give Up On Me. So to say that she and Liam know this song forwards and backwards would be an understatement.
So right before his show at Buckethead Theater last night, we all meet in the parking lot, we're all hanging out, and then they bring us backstage. And I wasn't really sure what to expect. I didn't know if it was a quote-unquote meet and greet with like a whole bunch of big-time Andy Grammer fans or anything, but his folks come on out, and thank you, Amy, for helping us out with this also, come on out and escort us backstage, and it's a green room. It's Andy Grammer, a couple of his people that help him out on the tour, and our Burt's Big Adventure family and Kristen and I, and that is it.
It's an exclusive one-on-one with Andy.
And Andy couldn't, you know, I'm not just saying this because he did something nice for us. You talk about, you could just feel that this guy's got a really, really great soul.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know too much about his life or I know a lot about his songs. They're all very positive and always really have great messages. What an incredible guy.
Yeah, and like the little things I notice is like, so we're in this green room area and there's a couch and a table and chair and stuff like that. And then there's like, you know, like what you have with like the tour boxes with equipment and stuff in it. And there's like this small box and Andy sits down on it. So he's right at Liam's mm-hmm. level because Liam's in his wheelchair. And the doctors told Caitlin and Roy that he won't ever talk, he won't ever walk. Liam can walk. Liam can run.
He ran to Kristen last night across the parking lot, man. Aww. It was the most adorable thing I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, my heart just melted. And so, and he, yes, he has limited vocabulary, but he does have vocabulary. So he's just like proved all the doctors wrong with what they said he would be able to accomplish. So he's sitting there and he's talking to Andy and he's like, how old are you? And he's telling Andy his name and how old he is. And then, you know, his little sister Emma is right there by his side and he's just having a full blown conversation with Liam and then with mom and dad. And we had Caitlin remind him of why his song Don't Give Up On Me is so important.
That was how I would time his seizures. I would sing that bowl singing it to him.
Yeah.
But I knew if I got to the end of the song, I had to go race him dead.
So then right after that, Andy, and this was not scripted or anything, just goes, you want me to play it for you? You want me to sing it for you?
He didn't even ask. He just told somebody, go get my guitar.
Yeah. So they go, they get a guitar and they give it to Andy and then he just starts belting out the song Don't Give Up On Me while his mom is bawling. Dad's starting to tear up. Kristen is crying. I'm trying to hold it in because toxic masculinity, you know. Everybody in the room is starting to cry while he plays that song for Liam and their family.
Reach my hands out in the dark and wait for yours to enter. I'm not giving up, no money. Even when I'm down to my last breath. Even when they say it's nothing left.
I mean, it was pretty amazing.
He just did that on his spot.
Wow. Yeah, he literally did. He was like, somebody go get my guitar. And they brought the guitar out and he just kind of like got comfy and then he just looked right at Liam the whole time he sang. And then Liam at one point, because I mean, I'm watching Andy and I'm watching Liam, but then I'm primarily watching Caitlin, Liam's mom. And she actually kept it together pretty well. I thought she was going to like boo-hoo. But there was a point where Liam nuzzled into his mom. And I mean, I just lost it because that was not planned. That was just Andy from the heart wanted to do something special for them. And they were besides themselves. That was a core memory for the ages.
Yes. And my dude was in no rush to leave, man. He would have stayed there all night with this family, right? He was just so great. So these are the things that we are allowed to do on Burt's Big Adventure. And again, I wanted to thank you guys because without your donations and stuff to Burt's Big Adventure throughout the entire year, we can't create these kind of memories. And we say it to you before, like, we're not curing cancer. That's not what our mission is. Our mission is to make these really deep, connective memories for families together. And those are to go down to Disney World and hang out. But then we get to do stuff like this. So I assure you that this family, this Burt's Big Adventure family, will remember this time as much as they did the trip down to Disney World.
And just for to add, like, you know, the cherry on top, they live in Acworth, which is like, and traffic takes them like an hour to get to Buckhead, to the Buckhead Theater. So thanks to y'all's donations and our incredible sponsors, they got to stay at the St. Regis. They're in Buckhead. They literally could walk to the theater.
Nice.
I'm like, you guys realize this is like one of the nicest hotels in Atlanta. And they're like, oh, we know.
Dude, Roy was so funny. So they were telling the way they were talking about the St. Regis and their hotel room, it was so cute. And mom was like, it's too fancy for us to stay here. And Roy, he pulls out his phone. He goes, dude, look at the size of this tub. This giant tub in their sink. And they got to go out to dinner and beforehand. And then that's when they met us backstage. So it was like a complete night of just magic.
Look, and we like to do things right. And I've told you before that we don't spend this money very wisely. So if you're like, wait a second, my donation to Burt's Big Adventure went to the St. Regis. Yes, this is kind of our mission here, that when we do it, we want to go over the top. Sure, we could have put them in a Holiday Inn and that would have been great. They would have been stoked by that.
Yeah.
But the whole night just has special meaning when you go over the top. And we wanted to have the experience that they had from start to finish. So those donations, that's where they go.
And if you want to check it out, you guys, today, just put this on your to-do list. It will put a smile on your face. Burt's Big Adventure has already shared video of Liam last night at the concert dancing while Andy Grammer is on stage performing, and it's just, it will make your day.
What a memorable night.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, Rechalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.